Foundation of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our redeemer. You'll turn to John chapter 2. In verse 11, John says, what Jesus did here in Cana of Galilee was the first of the signs through which he revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. Now, in the common lectionary, that's the lectionary used by liturgical churches throughout the world, Roman Catholic, Anglican, Episcopal, Lutheran, all those liturgical churches, in that common lectionary, which tells you which scriptures to read on any given Sunday, Jesus' miracle at the wedding in Cana is the second Sunday after Epiphany in year C. So, you know, it's a three-year lectionary. So once every 3 years, you get this lesson about the miracle at Cana. But in the CC, the Feast of Our Lord, the Giver of Life, was designated the second Sunday after Epiphany for every year. And for a long time, we had our own special lessons that we used for those, for the Giver of Life on Sanctity of Human Life Sunday, the Sunday closest to the Roe versus Wade decision. And so we never got the miracle at Cana in Galilee until just recently. I don't remember exactly, 3 years ago, I guess, they started saying we could use the lessons for the second Sunday after Epiphany again. So, you know, it always bothered me we never got this lesson because it's such an awesome lesson. But anyway, but now it's back. And that is good. And this is the first, this miracle that Jesus did at Cana in Galilee at a wedding was the first of the seven signs that Jesus gave, which revealed his glory and his divinity to all of mankind. And I could tell you the others, but you can also look them up. But there are seven signs in John's gospel, and this is the first. It is, if you will, the table setting miracle that Jesus did. All right? It proclaims great truth about Jesus, the giver of life and the giver of joy. It's a wedding. It's a joyous occasion. Everybody is happy. It's a wonderful thing. And this is a promise of new life for the couple. And the whole community comes together for 7 days. A Jewish wedding goes 7 days. They're just having a ball. And it's just wonderful. And this is the very first thing that Jesus does with his disciples. I mean, it's pretty awesome. And it says, Jesus told us that he came that we may have life and have it abundantly. And he said that he came that his joy may be in us and that our joy may be full. And he proved it. He went and he did this miracle at a wedding in Cana of Galilee. Awesome. Just awesome. But it does proclaim some very important points for us. It proclaims that true life is found in Jesus Christ and true joy is found in him. And that's the message, if you will, of the miracle at Cana in Galilee. Now, as I said, in John's gospel, there are seven signs that Jesus did to reveal his divinity and his glory. There are also seven I am statements in John's gospel that proclaim who he is and why he came. And just the two scriptures that I just quoted to you a minute ago, that he came that we may have life and have it abundantly, and he came that his joy may be in us and that our joy may be full, those come with two of those I am statements, by the way. All right? These scriptures tell us something about the very nature of Jesus himself. And so what I would like to do with you is to glide through the seven I am statements. And we all look at them together, okay? I want you to be with me through this whole thing. We'll glide through these quickly, hear what Jesus has to say about life and about joy. I want you to hear that, okay? And I hope that you will go back later this week and read through these again. I'm going to give you a suggestion, all right? Here's the suggestion. There are seven I am statements. And I understand that this week, special edition, okay, you're going to have 7 days, okay? And so you can have one I am statement for each day, all right? So for you couples, when you're sitting down to eat dinner together, start and read one of the I am statements. And then talk about it over dinner. If you're single, read it first thing in the morning, last thing in the evening, whatever. But just one I am statement a day, all right? But we'll go through them together here right now. So, and I'm going to read these from the NIV so that you can read with the book that's there in your pew, all right? That way we are not using different translations. All right. First I am statement. Can anybody tell me what it is? Chapter 6.
Bread of life.
Very good. All right. I am the bread of life. John chapter 6. Everybody go to John chapter 6, verse 35. John 6, 35. Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. There you go. I am the bread of what? Life. He came that we may have life. Very truly, in verse 47 and 48, very truly, I tell you, the one who believes has eternal life. You believe in Jesus, you have eternal life. I am the bread of life, Jesus reiterates. And then in verse 51, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. There you go. And this bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Now, where are you going to get this? If he's the bread of life, where are you going to get it? Where is that, Jack? Where are you pointing at? Up there? At this altar? Oh, yeah. There's a good reason for us to come together, is there not? That we may receive the bread of life, and the bread of life promises us eternal life. Praise the Lord. Okay, what's the second I am statement? Chapter 8. Who said it? Susan. Right. Very good, Susan. I am the light of the world. All right. John chapter 8, verse 12. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Jesus came that we may have life. He brightens our walk that we may, though we're walking through the valley of the shadow of death, we fear no evil because he is the light of the world and he will show us the way of life. Third, I am. Chapter 10. You get two for the price of one in chapter 10.
Which number?
Yeah, that's number four.
Oh.
Say again? He's the gate for the sheep. Yes. I am the door. I am the gate. Okay. John 10, 7. Jesus said, very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. You have life in Jesus because he's the one who opens the way to that life. He is the gate. And here is where we had that previous scripture in 10:10. And here says, I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly or full. There you go. All right, second I am in chapter 10 was, and you said it a minute ago, the good shepherd. There you go. I am the good shepherd. John 10, 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Jesus died that we may have life. That's what that message says very clearly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep, that the sheep may have life. He is the giver of life. Number five.
I am the resurrection.
I am the resurrection and the life. There you go. John 11, 25-26. Now this is, remember, Martha came to him. This is, he goes to see Lazarus. Lazarus has died. Martha comes out and asks him, you know, why weren't you here? Why weren't you here? But Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, and even though they die, and whoever lives and by believing in me will never die. That's a fabulous promise. In Jesus Christ, we have the promise of life eternal in him. Number six, this is one we just heard a minute ago in one of the songs. Go ahead, say, Susan. There you go. I am the way, the truth, and the life. John chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus answered and said, remember, Thomas is asking him, how do we know the way? How are we going to get there? And Jesus says, I am the way, and the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Fabulous. Number seven, the true vine. There you go, the true vine. I am the true vine. John chapter 15, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener, the vine dresser. In verse 4, remain in me. Father Chris's great t-shirt, remain man. Okay. Remain in me, and I as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. There's no life apart from Jesus Christ. There is no bearing of good fruit apart from Jesus Christ. And then in verse 11, here we have that promise again. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Jesus is the giver of life. Jesus is the giver of joy. True life and true joy are found in him. All right, so again, I would just encourage you, spend some time with these I am statements. They are so encouraging. They are so uplifting. Times are tough, but to hear the promise of life and the promise of joy and the promise of hope that come through these scriptures, these seven I am statements, I think all of us could use a little bucking up right now. I believe that all of us could use a little encouragement. Here it is, okay? So, Jesus came to Cana in Galilee to a wedding. He came to celebrate. And he celebrated this life, this hope, this joy that I just mentioned, not only with his disciples, but he was there and he celebrated with that entire community of Cana in Galilee. They all come together for the wedding. They spend 7 days just partying up, and it's wonderful. And don't forget that, you know, it looked like there might be a problem that maybe the wine ran out a little too early. So Jesus provides so that the joy may continue to be experienced and celebrated. And not only that, think about it. There were six stone jars and each held 20 to 30 gallons. And he made those 6 stone jars of water into wine. He just made 120 to 180 gallons of wine. I think he wanted the party to keep going.
And better wine than they had to start with.
Exactly. Exactly. All right? Not that he was encouraging imbibing to excess, but, you know, 7 days, an entire city, there's a lot of wine that's going to be consumed. All right. But this first miracle did set the table for the other signs and for all the I am statements. All right. And this proclamation that Jesus gave was that he came to give us life. He came into this world that we might live. We were dying in darkness because of our sin and our separation from God. And God the Father, in his great love and his great mercy, sent his Son that we may have life and have it abundantly. He came that his joy might be in us so that our joy might be full. Jesus is the giver of life. Jesus is the giver of joy. And to be pro-life is to be pro-Jesus. Because there is no life apart from him. You know, we think that somehow by changing the laws, we're going to change the minds of the people. No, it doesn't work that way. We change the hearts and bring them into right relationship with Jesus Christ. Then the laws can change because the people will want to see that manifested. Are you with me? So, Jesus came to give us life. He came to give us joy. And so, let us rejoice. I had this word, I sat on it during the praise and worship, but it just came back to me just now. Jack had mentioned before the service that this week he saw moon in the mornings, and it was really bright and beautiful and loving. And I was reminded of something that Christopher and I experienced on the way to driving him to middle school a couple of years ago. Anyway, and the moon, the full moon was up there, and we were admiring the full moon. And I said, "You realize what that is, don't you?" And he said, "What?" I said, "That's just a ball of rock and dust. It has no light of its own. The moon, you can't see. If the sun were shining on it, you would not see the moon. Okay? It's just rock and dust. You and I, from dust to dust. We're just rock and dust, as it were. But that song that we were singing, and I don't, it's Shine, it says, shine your light on us that all may see your glory. We don't have any glory. We don't have any shine apart from the light that Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life, shines on us. And when that is shining on us, then the world can see the glory of God manifested in us. Are you with me? You know, as long as you're facing the sun, the light will shine on you. When you turn your back to the sun, they won't see it. It's like the full moon going around. Think about an eclipse. You don't see the moon at all until it passes in front of the sun. And then you only see the dark spot. But if you were on the other side, it would be glorious. Just as a full moon is glorious. You are the moon. You are the dark. You are the dust. You are the dirt. But when God is shining on you, you reveal the glory of God to all who will see. Amen? Amen. I don't have any idea where I went with that sermon, but it just... Okay, anyway, well, as Hugh Morris would say, rejoice always, okay? For Jesus came that we may have life and we may have it to the full, that we may have joy and that it might be complete in him. Amen.